History of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken, and greetings to all of our listeners.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a number of things to talk about today, and we hope you'll call in and join in the conversation. But more to come in just a minute here. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. I have just a couple of announcements here before we get started. Coming up on Sunday, May the 1st, will be our annual Wake Up America dinner, one of two big fundraisers that we have here for this great Catholic radio apostolate. And we need your support. We're going to be at the Malvern Retreat House from 1:30 to 5:30 on that Sunday afternoon. Again, that's May the 1st. Kathleen McCarthy will be the keynote speaker. The broadcasters, engineers, volunteers will be on hand. We'll have a silent auction, as we always do, as well as drawings for raffle prizes. So you'll want to come on out and join us for that event. Also, just this week, we've added sponsorships, and those opportunities are available on the website. If you go to inhissign.com and scroll to the bottom of the page, you'll see the information for the Wake Up America dinner. If you click on the second link for sponsorship information, that's where you'll get the details for that. You can also download a flyer and use that to send in your check for either yourself, a couple, or a table of eight. It's $55 per person, $100 for a couple, or $400 for a table of eight. It's always a great event year in and year out. I'm blessed again this year to be asked by Kathleen to MC the event. So
we're talking
to Kathleen this week. So, no, it's always a good time, and it's great to see the folks that support us. And it is. It's always just a great event. So the ministry, Our House Ministries, will have at least one table. Maybe we'll be able to fill a couple tables and be out there. But we encourage everybody to come on out and check it out, especially if you've never been. Come on out to the Retreat House. Check out the beautiful grounds that are there. And join us for the annual Wake Up America dinner. Also, October the 10th on your calendar. That'll be our annual golf outing. That's Monday, October the 10th. We'll be back at Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse. That's always a great event, and you don't want to get shut out. So circle that date on your calendar now, and we'll provide more details as they come along. Also, our Matt Talbot Shrine is open Tuesdays and Thursdays in St. Gabriel's Church, the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. Make a pilgrimage, especially during this Lenten season. Come down and visit the Matt Talbot Shrine, as well as the beautiful Stations of the Cross there in the Cathedral of South Philadelphia. We had a couple people, new people, that showed up at our monthly Matt Talbot Mass last night, and just really, really impressed with the Stations of the Cross. If they said it once, they said it a dozen times, how beautiful they were. So come on down. We're open. There's 8:30 daily Mass Monday through Thursday, but on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the shrine's open after Mass until 6 o'clock p.m. So come on down and check us out. And last but not least, in May, it's a midweek retreat, May 18th to the 20th. It's a Wednesday to Friday. It's a serenity retreat for women, and yours truly has been asked to direct the retreat. And I encourage all those, especially if you're in recovery, or I guess anybody that's really looking for serenity, to come on out and make that retreat. You can get more details on the Retreat House's website at malvernretreat.com. You can also register there online or give them a call at 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400. And I think that's it in terms of announcements. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G.
Pray for us.
St. Francis and St. Clair.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
St. Michael, Brayfield, and Gabriel.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace.
Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The number's 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. We especially need your calls before, as we go to the break at the bottom of the hour. We'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back. And we'll give out the phone numbers again as we approach the bottom of the hour. We are currently in the second week of Lent, and we have just a couple of saints this week. Tomorrow, Thursday the 17th, for all our Irish listeners, it'll be St. Patrick's Day. That's St. Patrick's Day, not St. Paddy's Day. Friday the 18th, we'll celebrate St. Cyril of Jerusalem. And on Saturday the 19th, it'll be the Feast of St. Joseph. And Father and I had talked before we came on the air, and he was part of a retreat out at Malvern over the weekend with Kathleen McCarthy. And in a Is That Odd or Is That God that just happened, Father Kathleen happened to walk in. I saw her on the other side of the glass. I think she's talking to Maureen. But Father was on that retreat with Kathleen, took care of some of the spiritual needs. And I know from talking to Father the last couple of days that he had a great time there in ministering to all who came. And so, Father, how was the retreat? And if we get Kathleen in,
yeah,
we can.
I'll get my 2 cents in
first. Well, yeah, you better hurry up before she comes on.
Well, you know, I just want to say, wow, you know, gosh, the closing remarks, it was like to speak about the retreat. And I often thought about the mystics when they try to talk about what they experience, and they bankrupt the dictionary and just stretch out the human language, you know, trying to get words like wow or stupendous, you know, miraculous, revealing. You know, I'm just lost for words. But when I went there, Kathleen, you know, she said, oh, yeah, come out and you can get your rest and have Mass for us, do the sacramental work, and give the homilies. So I figured that'll be it, you know. Don't worry about hearing confessions. We'll have a lot of priests there. You know, so I said, all right, but I don't mind hearing a couple confessions either. So what happened, we had the snowstorm anyway, and no priest came. I felt like St. John Vianney, you know, in the confessional all day long hearing confessions. In fact, I was waking up in my sleep giving absolution. But, you know, I went out there tired and exhausted, and I was tired and exhausted, Ken, but there was this energy inside me, this vigor that was inside me. It was like this presence of Jesus. And these women, of, you know, women of fire, and they were on fire, and it's like they set a fire in me, and it was like a back and forth, and I never had so much affirmation in my priesthood as I did that weekend. I can't tell you, Ken, how many women came up and just affirmed my priesthood, and I knew that in the beginning, that I'm coming to the women in persona Christi. And that first night, Ken, this was so powerful for me. If you remember, two Tuesdays ago, when we were having our Calyx meeting and we exposed the Blessed Sacrament, and prior to that, I was hearing so many confessions and people's problems and troubles and suffering, you know, and it's like, wow, you know, it was heavy in my heart, hearing tears of people, you know, just so much what they're going on and what they're struggling with. And I just remember kneeling in front of the Blessed Sacrament, exposed the heart of Jesus right there in front of me. And I said, Lord, you know all the hearts of your people behind me here. And just don't bless me. No, don't bless me. Just let those rays come through me, through your priesthood, and touch all the hearts behind me. And I had this powerful experience then, Ken, that Jesus was just pulsating his heart rays right through me, his priest, Father Douglas, onto the people. And that was so powerful when I came up to the homily. If you remember, Ken, I was sharing that experience in the homily that same day. Hmm. And I choked up. I couldn't talk. Well, then I had that same experience on Friday night when I came for Mass. And right in the beginning there, I was looking at the windows, you know, behind the altar that they go out into the forestry. But you couldn't see the forestry at night. But what I saw was all the reflections of all the retreatants. And I had that same very experience. And I just prayed, Lord, just in persona Christi, Father Douglas, just come through me and touch the hearts of these women. And he did. He did. And when he touched their hearts, they touched my heart. And it was so powerful. And you remember I always say, Ken, that your next retreat is your best retreat. And really, if we're growing spiritually, your next retreat is your best retreat. And I'll say that again. That was my best retreat. I was on fire. And I was tired. I have to say that. You know, but, I Saturday night when I went to bed, it was after 12 because I was talking to the ladies. I always said, I looked at the ladies and blessed am I among women. And I said to the ladies, Jesus was a lady man, a ladies man. And I felt myself, I was also a ladies man. So I was just kind of mingling in with them all the way up probably to midnight, you know. And then I went to bed and I just crashed. And I didn't even wake up until my alarm went off at 7 o'clock. I had such a profound, deep sleep, and I woke up, and what was next? The Mass again. And it was like this presence, overwhelming presence of Jesus, and this joy and peace that was flowing through me to them and flowing right back to me again. I just, it was just remarkable and glorious. Here I go again. I don't have the words, but it was really spirit-filled, and listening to Kathleen and Anne McGlone and I was just so touched, and the musicians, gosh, Mary and Carmen, they had us transcended as well, and everybody was just playing a part in the sharing. But I was enriched, Ken, and I came back here, and that reading on Sunday, about Peter, James, and John, and Jesus taking them to the mountaintop. That's where I felt like I was on the mountaintop. You know, God the Father, right there, looking at us. This is my beloved Son. Listen to Him. And we were listening to him, and he was speaking to us so profoundly, so beautifully the whole weekend. And we even talked about, we're going to have to come down this mountain and go back into the world, just like the apostles. And Sunday when I got back, I was just gloating, reflecting on everything and praying, like I was still on the mountaintop. But come Monday, Ken, it was like, it was a quick descent coming back down. But you come back down with a deeper faith, deeper hope, and a deeper love in the Lord. But, thanks for asking. It was really, yeah. And I thank God for that weekend, and especially for Kathleen. And I had to say this, too, before, I thought I was going to have just the three Masses, and then I saw my name there Saturday night. It said Kathleen and Father Douglas McKay. I said, what's this, a talk? She said, yeah, you're giving another talk. I looked at her and I said, well, I wasn't even prepared for a talk. And she has that way of bringing you out. She said, just talk about what's on your heart. I said, well, maybe I'll talk about the Calyx Society. She said, no, not that. Again, with the Holy Spirit. So what I did, I took the homily from Sunday and I talked about my COVID blessing. And then the Spirit gave me, another homily on Sunday. But it was all Spirit-filled and everything just fell right together. I was really blessed. I'd say, too blessed to be stressed by the best, but what a retreat.
Amen. Wow. I'll give it. Yeah, in case any of the women that attended want to call in, the number's 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or call toll-free at 888-343-2484. We'd love to hear from you. I know yesterday at the down at the Matt Talbot Shrine, you must have talked about it at least once, hopefully a bunch of times over the course of the weekend. And Anne-Marie and another woman, she came, I guess,
Jennifer,
after the holy hour started, made it down to the Grace Ferry last night for our monthly Matt Talbot Mass. It was nice to meet them, and had nothing but great things to say over the course of the weekend. And one of the interesting things was that the thought just went out of my mind as quick as it came. Oh, that they didn't know that you and I had a radio show, so they must only listen on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So,
Kathleen was putting the word out.
Yeah, now she is. But I think we may have a couple extra listeners. But we actually have two people on the line, and neither one of them were on the retreat, or at least they weren't unless they had a skirt on and shouldn't have. Hello, Jack.
Hey, Father Doug. Good hearing you, my friend.
Hey, Jack.
Do you know who Jack is, Father?
I'm not sure, but is this Ray's brother and Michael's brother?
Yeah, this is Jack Barnes, Father.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Jack.
Hi,
yeah, Jack was at the Mass last night, Ken.
Oh, okay. Very good. Hey, Jack.
Hi. I'm listening to your show, and thank you so much for your inspiration. I just wanted to call and let you know that that I love you, and I thank you for bringing me into the fold and accepting me so.
You're always welcome, Jack. It's a call like that and a sentiment like that that makes all the work we put into it worthwhile, and to see people come back to the Lord, especially back to the sacraments. You don't know the blessing that you are to us. And and that's the way God designed it. You know, we're not meant to live alone. We're meant to live in this community and help one another. And, you know, the goal is that that we help you, and then sooner or later, you're able to pass it on to somebody else, invite somebody else to come down. And sooner or later, we get everybody back to the feet of Christ.
That's the plan. That's the grand plan. Yes, sir.
Very good.
Yeah, Jack and Ken, Jack's the one that made the rock under the altar there.
That's right, EV.
Yeah.
Oh, you did see it? Awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
And thank you so much for reconnecting me back with my mother.
Well, you know, I really believe this, Jack. When I visited her there, you know, I could see her beautiful faith as she received the sacraments, even for the last time, preparing her to go to God. So I know she's in that place in heaven that Jesus won for her, and she's not only interceding for you, your brothers, your family, but also for us. And I think that's why we have that rock to remind me of her intercession from that place in heaven. But I'm so happy, Jack, that you joined us. God bless you.
Yeah.
God bless you, my friend. Get back to your station, and I'm sure you have more callers.
All right, Jack. Great to hear from you. Thanks for calling. God bless you,
sir.
All right.
God bless you.
Bye-bye now. And we do have another caller on the line, and we're going to go to Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Ken.
Do we take callers from guys that were absent?
Yeah, well, I just heard you say to Jack how welcome he was. I knew I wasn't going to get the same.
We had to mark you absent last night. Where were you?
I'm down the shore. I've been down here for 2 weeks now.
That's only 2 hours away. You could have made it.
Yeah. So, well, I tried to get on the highway. It said one way. So, I actually forgot why I'm calling, but right, because you mentioned the Station to the Cross at St. Gabriel's.
Yes.
And Harry brought me there specifically to see those stations, and to tell me that The Sixth Sense, the movie, was filmed there. But I mean, I know you've noticed it, but those men, you know, dragging Jesus. They're the angriest people I've ever seen in my entire life. Those stats, those stations, the hatred coming out of those statues, you know, of the men persecuting Jesus, you know, it lets me know it's a that's me, actually. You know, it's not them, it's me. You know, I never felt that I hated God. I always loved God. But I sinned, and God's, and my sins sent Jesus to Calvary. And when I see those people, I go, oh, my goodness, that's me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, they are. So now that you mention it, I did notice that none of them have a smile on their face. But, yeah, they're an angry bunch.
I mean, they are the absolute, they are the epitome of anger, hatred. Whoa.
So when do you come back from the shore?
I'm down here for a long time. I'm in here for the long haul.
Okay. Then we'll look forward to you, to seeing you whenever you get back.
All right.
All right, brother. Thanks for the call.
You might see me May 1st.
Okay. All right.
Melbourne.
There you go. It would be great to have you there. Yeah, come sit at our House Ministries table. You can pay for the table, and we'll be your guest.
There you go.
All right, brother.
Very good.
All right, thanks for the call.
Take care.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bob.
And Kathleen now has a headset on, so she's with his father, and she's showing me a picture of the two of you from this past weekend out at Malvern. You and your Lent investments.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So it was a good weekend, huh, Kath?
A great weekend, wasn't it, Father?
Oh, like I said, I don't know if you heard what I was just saying.
No, I didn't.
I just have the words. You know, what I said there, I said I really stretched the human language and bankrupt the dictionary. Wow, stupendous, you know, miraculous, revealing. I just didn't have the words. I told Ken that, you know, my next retreat is my best retreat, and certainly that was, Kathleen. That was my best retreat.
I'll tell you, Father.
And I think it should be. If we're growing in the Lord, it's going to get better and better and better.
Absolutely. And, you know, you heard what a couple people had said, but Tuesday they were calling in, and WOW, as I always put it, WOW, without words.
Wow, I never heard that before.
Yeah, I've been saying it for 50 years. Haven't you been listening to
me? Hey, caught you, Father.
But we steal each other's lines, right, Father?
Yeah.
And Joey's.
Yep.
So it was a great weekend. We had two of your retreatants came down to Grace Ferry last night.
Anne-Marie
and Jennifer,
Yeah.
It was good to see
him.
That
was perfect. That was God's perfect timing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, Father, you were a tremendous blessing, as always. And we're going to have Kenny come out and give a witness at one of these retreats. I had to bring you out to witness at our Lumina Christi retreat.
I did it years ago.
Yeah.
But it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Well, Father, I can only tell you, and I don't say this, my friends, because I've known him so long, or he's such a good friend. I say one thing, the main thing about you all the time. I call you the holiest priest I know.
Amen.
And I don't say that lightly. Carry on. You both do a great job. I'm blessed to have both of you here. And I will tell you again, Father, you were absolutely beautiful this weekend, or last weekend, and it's a pleasure and a joy to work with you, as always.
Yeah, thank you, Kathleen. And I know you say that a lot about holiness, and I always say to you, our friend Joe Carl, right?
Yeah.
If you spot it, you got it. And then I said to you, I said, well, I'm rubber and you're glue, Kathleen. Whatever you say about me bounces off me and sticks to you.
Yep, I'll receive that.
Amen.
So tell me what well means again, without words.
Without words, but that's how you have
without
to say
words.
It so they know you're talking W-O-W, without words.
You know, I was just looking at it, put W-O-W down. Now, if you flip that upside down, you have mom.
That's
mom.
Right. That's
so
exactly
without
right.
words, you know, comes from our mothers.
That's
you know.
Right.
We first start from God right into our mothers.
That's right.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. I love you. I'm going to let you back to your partner here. And I just happened to stop in, wave to Kenny, and He says, come on in and say hello.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, Father, you know, spent the first few minutes talking about the weekend, and and he's been talking about it ever since he got back. Yeah, that's all I've listened to the last couple of days.
It's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, amen.
All right, take care. God bless. And we're going to get together soon.
Yep.
Kathleen, right. Yeah. You always push me, and I remember Saturday night when I saw my name on the list.
Oh, right.
I mean, you know, I'm here. What's this about? You know, the talk. I thought I was coming out for like a, you know, the masses and get arrested, and I didn't have to hear confessions. And it's like you said, well, you know, you listen to the Spirit. You'll come up with something. I said, all right, how about if I talk about the Calyx Society? You said, well, try again.
That's a God's truth.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I was saying that, you know, how everything switched with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, talk about the COVID blessing, and then the homily for Sunday was different, but it was all Spirit-filled.
It certainly
thanks
was.
For pushing me, Kathleen.
I'll tell all of you a cute little quickie, and I'll get off real quick. One of the other retreats I was doing, and I asked Father Doug to come to do that too, and I was like giving words, you know, prophetic word, yada, 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 and the Lord laid on my heart something for Father. So I look over at him, and he's standing by the altar, and I said, Father, I said, you have the prophetic word. He said, I do? And I said, yeah. He goes, let me try it out. He hasn't stopped since.
No, there you go. There
all right, I love you. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Thanks, Kathleen. Love you. God bless.
Bye-bye.
We're a couple minutes before the bottom of the hour. I'll give out the phone numbers again if you want to call in for our Is That Odd or Is That God? You do. And we'll talk about it when we come back from the break. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or call toll-free 888-343-2484 if you have to. You can always listen to the show over the website at inhissign.com. So, you know, every time I have the two of you, we're obviously not in the same physical space, but together, I think about how God manages to connect the dots, and he doesn't do it all at once. And just over the years, the people that God has put in my life, and I know you mentioned the other day that Hannah's card had come up. And, you know, Hannah had been a really good friend of Kathleen's and one of her drivers. And Hannah was my connection to Kathleen. And just the way this triumvirate of, the three of us has come about over the years has just been a beautiful thing to watch grow. And I can't thank God, Kathleen, or you, Father, enough for the impact that you've all had on not only my spiritual life, but my whole life. Yeah. Anyway,
it's body. You got it.
There you go. There you go.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, no problem. I don't want to. We're going to talk about St. Patrick sooner or later, probably when we come back from the break. But we do have a caller that'll take us out to the break. Hello, Gail. Hello, Gail. Oh, helps if I hit the answer button. Hello, Gail.
Hello, how are you?
All right, how are you?
Are we off break?
No, well, we got a couple minutes before we go to the break, so we'll get you in before we go.
Oh, okay, so real quickie. Glad to hear you had a great retreat. I was hearing all about that. That sounded really nice.
Yeah, it was great.
I wanted to call in today. I was at Lowe's, actually, I'm at Lowe's, and I said, I got to call Father and Ken about my little God story today. And it's only something real short, but you're always looking for callers, and I thought, well, let me call in today. I just wanted to share, I was thinking about Cindy a couple days ago, and Cindy, as the callers know, is the person that does Calyx, and I don't know what her title was, if she's president or what she was of Calyx, but she had passed in November, and I was thinking of her, and I kept thinking, oh, she loved her little doggie so much, and how much she loved that dog, and I kept saying, geez, I bet she probably misses that dog, and I'm thinking all about her. Well, 3 days later, which was today, I'm going to clean things out, and there pops on the floor is her little card from, you know, the holy card that you get with at the funeral, her and her dog.
Amen.
And I said, Cindy, I know you're telling me you're okay, and you heard me. And I just thought it was just so sweet that I got it a couple days later telling me she's okay. Yeah. And I share that because I miss her so much. And,
yeah.
But anyway, I just wanted to share that story. How it's amazing how you'd be thinking of something and wondering about something, and how either the Lord, the angels, Cindy, I don't know who it is that gives you the message, but I got the message today.
Nah, that's awesome.
That was really sweet.
Yeah. Now, go ahead, Father.
Yeah, Gail, you know, I was saying this on the retreat, too, that and Ken really brought this home to me, Ken. I don't know if you realize that. But that thin veil between us and our loved ones, they're with God, God's with us, Jesus is always present to us, he's in our midst, and so are our loved ones. But they don't have their bodies to really communicate with us anymore, but they send signs. And that was a beautiful sign with her holy card. And I just remember, Ken, when you drove me to the hospital today with the family, and when we took off the ventilator and we waited, and I had my hands on her, and I looked at her eyes were open, and you could see her looking at God. Mm. You know, he had the bloodshot eyes of Jesus Christ crucified. But that was a powerful experience there. And I keep, like you do, Ken, I keep her holy card in view so I can see it. And I know that she's still interceding for us. And she was the international president, Gail, of the Cancer Society.
Oh, okay. I didn't know exactly her title. I know it was a big deal, but I didn't want to, you know, sing out the wrong thing. But,
I miss her all the time. I miss her all the time.
I do too.
And talking about the dog, I sometimes I wonder if Harry wishes that dog went with her. But but I think Harry's getting on with him. I think Harry's getting along okay with the dog now.
Yeah.
But it probably gives him something to really live for sometimes. You know what I mean? Like you have another responsibility.
Yeah.
Sometimes it helps you get out of your little niche, I guess. You know. But it was just so beautiful how I just think of, and see that picture with her, that cute little dog and that little mask card. I can't even tell you. Just touched my heart this morning. Oh,
great.
But anyway, I had to share it, and I wanted to say hi to you guys because I won't be there tomorrow. I'm working, so I won't see you. But
you'll be
I like that thing about the whale, W-O-W.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
All right.
So, well, you have a good, so you can go to break. I
okay.
know you're busy.
All right,
good
Gail.
Good to talk to you. And good to, well, I see Father every now and then, but I don't see you so much, Ken, but good to hear from you.
Yeah, you too, dear. Thanks for the call. We'll
all
catch
right.
up soon.
Take care.
All right, you
Bye.
Too. God bless.
God Bye-bye. Bless, Gail.
And that does take us to the break. So we're going to take a short break. If you want to call in with an odd or God, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Love to hear from the listeners, Ken. I mean, from the retreat.
I'm writing this radio commercial on the 22nd of August, Feast of the Queenship of Mary. And on also, which was the apparition of Our Lady of Knock yesterday. This is the very first time I was ever led to do a commercial break on a specific date and then be asked to publicly note it. And thanksgiving to all of you for supporting us these past four decades in fidelity and love, I commend each of you and every single member of your families to Mary, Queen of Heaven and Earth. Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In his sign, Catholic Radio is under the patronage of Saint Maximilian Kolbe. Our studio is called Kolbe Communication Center. We too continue to preach and teach the truth of our one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church under the mantle of the Immaculate. As with the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head, I am standing in faith and I am praying for the next 12 months, 12 stars may come forth to be the corona shining through the darkness at this time in this age to help keep this apostolate on the air, to preach, to teach, to heal, to deliver the teachings of our one Holy Catholic
an apostolic church. Will you be one of those stars? I'm praying for 12 stars to help keep In His Sign Catholic Radio on the air. Thank you, and God bless you.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign, especially in these times, you know, aware of everything that's going on with prices of seemingly everything going up. And, you know, so it's truly sacrificial what you do for us, and we certainly appreciate it. We do have a caller for Otter God. Here we go. Hello, Michael. Hello, Michael. Two or three? Yeah. Not sure what happened to Mike. Anyway. So as Kathleen mentions in the spot there, we've 40 years that we've been doing this, and we can't do it without your support. So we certainly appreciate it. I don't have any other callers for Odd or God, but I don't want to get into the details of one. Father and I had one that came, it's really started over the weekend. We're not sure how things are going to pan out, but it's got Odd or God written all over it. And I'm not always one to particularly care when people say, pray for my special intention. But in this case, pray for this special intention. It could have a huge impact on our ministry, on a lot of souls, our ability to bring the message of Christ to a lot more people that struggle with addiction. So I just ask you to keep Father and I and this effort that's come about in your prayers, and hopefully we'll be able to give you the details in the not-so-distant future. And it looks like Mike did call back. Hello, Mike.
Hello, guys. Hi, Ken. Hi, Father.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
Really good. Good. It was good to hear that you had a great time at the retreat, and the women, responded well, and it's nice to hear that, anyway, Odd or God experience, and I think my Father knows about it already, but I just have to say that Margaret Doty was in hospice, and she was getting ready to pass away, and her son Patrick called me up, and he said, my mom's ready to pass away, can you make it here probably at 2:00, and I said, oh yeah, sure, Pat, thanks a lot, and all that, and that. So I go over there, and, I've been seeing Margaret for the last, so many years, and just going over and talking to her during every week or so, and bringing her candy, and Pat was like, Mike, you got to stop with the candy. I'm eating it. but anyway, she's in hospice, and Pat said, my mom's ready to pass away, Mike, and that. So I went over, and I'm sitting in my car, and I'm waiting for Pat for some reason. And I got out of the car, and I went to the door, and I knocked, and Pat came to the door. He said, oh, Mike, I think she's going to pass away. And I didn't know what to say. I don't know if he wanted me to leave or not, So he said, no, come on in. and she was just laying there, and she looked peaceful and, not in pain or anything like that. It was really she was really peaceful. So I was standing beside her, and I was saying, Margaret, it's Mike. I'm so good to see you. I just hope everything, don't be afraid. And you're going to see the face of God. And I said, Margaret, it's Mike. She was like, oh, she woke up and her eyes opened up and I was like, oh my God. And she's like, start kissing me and I'm, oh, oh. And I thought, Like, I look at Pat, and he says, I can't believe it. He got up, and I can't believe it. He's, like, crying all over, and, like, he said, Mike, I'm telling you, I've been holding her hand for, I'm expecting her to die any time. And you know, so what a, you know, is that honor, is that God? And, like, what an experience, because, I mean, I haven't seen her in a month, because Pat was like, you know, Mike, she's in the diaper, she's, you know, and I said, oh, all right, Pat, no problem, you know, and I finally seen her for the last time, and here she woke up, and it was like, it was, so I go down, and we're both crying and everything like that, and so I'm driving down the street, and I'm crying, driving down the street, and I come near the church, and I said, let me go in and say a prayer, and see if the door's open. And the doors were open. I go in, and there was a mass or something, you know, happening, and they're going on. And it was just getting done. And I was kneeling in the pew, and I was saying a few prayers, and Father gets up, and he's walking with Mrs. Dean. And I came out of the pew, and I was telling Father what happened. And he was saying, like, Mike, you know, go to get in touch with the pastor and let him know, make sure he can go give her last rites and everything like that. So I said, I'll text Patrick, Pat, but I'll leave it up to him, Father, you know. So I text him, and I think the father got down there, because the next Sunday he was talking about Margaret and how he got down there. So that was good that he did that, and it was good that Father told me. But what an experience, you know, what an experience. I knew it. Like, I knew, like, She knew where she was going. I was saying, Margaret, when you get up there, tell my mom, you know, I said hi and pray for me. And what, everything was meant to be. Like, it was meant to be for a reason. Like, and I believe there's a reason for everything in my life today, because I believe. And that was one of them, you know. And I said what I had to say for the response that I got. And, like, it was like, I'm getting choked up now.
Yeah.
It was...
great. Nah, it's great stuff, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, I remember when you were sharing that thing. and you were telling me that how her eyes opened and all. And it was like, you were the instrument that the Lord used to lead her to those pearly gates, to get her ready. Don't be afraid. You're going to see the face of God. It's exactly what she needed to hear, because the grace is all over her. And you just made me think how you were really... living out your baptism, your confirmation, that in baptism, you know, in the rite, it says we are anointed priest, prophet, and king. So you were Father Michael there, leading her, really, to the face of God. So that was really a beautiful story.
It was funny,
and it was
you
on schedule as
Mr.
planned.
Dean,
you were the one, the visitor, for so long, every week, and you were the one that the Lord woke her up to say those beautiful words and to usher her home.
Yeah.
To where she comes from and where she belongs in the bosom of our Heavenly Father. So thank you, Michael, for responding to God's grace at that moment.
Amen.
Thanks for everything, Father.
All right. Thanks for the call, Michael. Appreciate it. God bless.
All right, take care.
Yep, you too.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, they called in. I guess we'll let them off the hook for not being there last night. They think we're not looking, Father.
That's right.
Yeah.
Keep telling them, I'm going to have to go to summer school.
All right. Well, we got...
What about Bob?
Yeah. We got about 15 minutes left to get St. Patrick in, and
okay.
I guess we have to, because tomorrow's a day for ham and cabbage. I guess no green beer, although I don't think in all my years I ever drank a green beer.
Me either.
Yeah. But anyway, St. Patrick was born... a lot of this is estimates. I think he was born around the year 415, would die in the year 493. I believe he was born in Dumbarton, Scotland, possibly, or in northern Wales. He called himself both a Roman and a Briton. And at 16, he and a large number of his father's slaves and vassals were captured by Irish raiders and sold as slaves over in Ireland. And he worked there as a shepherd. And after 6 years, he escaped, probably got to France, and it was in France where he got an education. But at some point, he got his education becomes a priest. He's consecrated a bishop at the age of 43, and then in a dream, he sees all the children of Ireland from their mother's wombs were stretching out their hands to him, and he took it to mean that he was to go to Ireland, and which was really a pagan country at the time, and bring the message of Christ to them, and he did. And there were mass conversions in Ireland. It wasn't easy work. The pagan Druids weren't particularly happy with the work that he was doing, but it ended up where, you know, he converted enough and enough priests were ordained that they ended up sending missionaries from Ireland back to Christianize Europe. And pretty interesting story. And it reminds me of a book I read years ago called How the Irish Saved Civilization. And, you know, they were so Catholic, and when, you know, things were being ripped up in Europe and Ireland, it was the monks in Ireland that had copied and recopied and recopied, you know, all the great literature up to that time, especially the Bible. And so when things calmed down a bit, the monasteries there had everything we needed in order to, you know, not start over again, but to pick up where we had left off. And it says here that his burial place is said to be in County Down in Northern Ireland. And, of course, the picture on the front of the book I made, Father, you and I on our trip to Ireland, is, you and I sitting on the big stone that is supposedly marks his grave. Anyway, St. Patrick, whose feast hopefully most people will celebrate soberly tomorrow.
Yeah. You know, just amazing, you know, maybe around 14, younger, just to be kidnapped and taken off to Ireland. And he says this in the Office of Readings today, Ken, about the Irish. He said, "I came to the Irish peoples to preach the gospel and endure the taunts of unbelievers, putting up with reproaches about my earthly pilgrimage, suffering many persecutions, even bondage, and losing my birthright of freedom for the benefit of others." I mean, they were the persecution he received when he got there, but what about the persecutions when he was kidnapped? Mm. I mean, beaten, you know, placed in submission. And here's the thing, I always think of this. He was placed on it's called Mount Kropatrick now, but on that mountain as a shepherd boy, tending sheep. And his whole thing, what's in the future for him, is that he's going to be a shepherd of souls, you know, and going for the lost sheep. And the lost sheep are of course, the pagans, you know, the Irish people. And I think about the Celtic cross, Ken, when he would go there, and the Celtic cross with the big circle around it, that's a symbol of the sun, and that Jesus Christ, you know, he overshadows the sun god, and he brings the true God there. But it was through those tribulations and trials that he's purified and made ready for that. And that boat that he sees in the dream to escape the island and to get back home somewhat. And it was just that the words that he heard from Jesus said, "Be ready for a brave effort." And that's the effort. So he goes back, he becomes a priest and a bishop, and right back to the people who persecuted him, who beat him. And just in persona Christi, that people begin to flock to him. He's just like Jesus. And gosh, he's healing people. He got that power of healing. He's healing the cripples. The blind are seeing. The deaf are hearing. He actually raised 9 people from the dead. And all he could see is Jesus. He's a mystic. Patrick's a mystic. And I love that breastplate, Ken. That's so beautiful. That all he could see was Jesus Christ. Everywhere he turned was Jesus. And, you know, it was, I just want to maybe read that breastplate of his. Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I rise, Christ in the heart of every person who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of every person who thinks of me, in every eye, in every ear, in every person. Christ hemmed them in, Ken. It was Jesus everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was so beautiful. And I was just thinking, like, you know how he would explain the Trinity with the shamrock? And when I was a kid, you know, the shamrock was always an Irish symbol. Macho, right? Powerful, you know, tough football players, baseball players. But the shamrock is really a spiritual, it's a religious symbol. It's about the Holy Trinity. As Patrick would hold up that shamrock and said that the Trinity's like this, one stem and three leaves, three divine persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But there's so much I can say, you know, about that. But it was Patrick who really brought Jesus to the Irish people. And I love this saying. Someone gave it to me years ago, and I often like to read it. The Irish. What shall we say about the Irish? The utterly impractical, never predictable, something irascible, quite inexplicable Irish. Strange blend of shyness, pride, and conceit, and stubborn refusal to bow to defeat. They're spoiling and ready to argue and fight, yet the smile of a child fills their soul with delight. Their eyes are the quickest to well up in tears. Their faith is as fierce as devotion is grand, and there's no middle ground in which they'll stand. They're wild and they're gentle. They're good and they're bad. They're proud and they're humble. They're happy and they're sad. They're in love with the ocean, the earth, and the skies. They're enamored with beauty wherever it lies. They're a victor and a victim, a star and a clog, but mostly they're Irish, in love with their God. Love that one, Ken.
Yeah, amen.
The Irish, thanks to St. Patrick bringing Jesus to the Irish people.
Yeah, and being of Irish descent myself, you know, both my grandparents came from Ireland, one from the north, one from the south. The Catholic one from, I really shouldn't say the south, but the Republic, but it was my Catholic grandmother that came from Northern Ireland and my Protestant grandfather that came from the Republic of Ireland. So kind of reversed, but I've had the pleasure of being there twice. Once I went with my father to visit family on both my grandmother and grandfather's side, and then the other trip with you. And you know, it is a beautiful country. And the first time I went, my grandfather was from a small town up on the northern coast on Fanny in County Donegal. And you know, it was just absolutely gorgeous. It was not developed. There was one hotel in the town. There was a couple of pubs and a restaurant, and the restaurant was actually my grandfather's house at one time, or my great-grandfather's house, I should say. And I remember saying to one of my cousins, you know, it's just so beautiful here. How could anybody leave? And the response was that you can't eat the scenery. And so we know the plight of the Irish and how many have come here to the United States. And, you know, I think St. Patrick's Day is a bigger day in the States than it is in Ireland sometimes. But, you know, the Irish people, like you said, and what you just read, are a conflicting people. They can be your best friend one minute and your worst enemy the next. But, you know, they are devoted. And, you know, I've got nothing but great things to think about. Unfortunately, I never did get to meet my Irish grandparents. They were both died in the 40s before my father was 13, as a matter of fact. But, you know, just good people, devoted family people. And, you know, like Patrick, they didn't have it easy coming up, especially in the last, you know, the 18th, 19th, early 20th century. It was a rough go, but it made them who they are.
Yeah. And, you know, a mystic, you ask yourself, how do you become so holy like that?
Mm.
You know, where Jesus is just shining through him, and he's just seeing Jesus everywhere he turns. But, you know, when he went back to Ireland to convert the Irish people, he made that, you know, to the mountain again, Ken, Mount Kirkpatrick, which is called now, but 40 days of fasting, penance, what we're supposed to be doing during Lent. And that we deny ourselves, we pick up our cross. And then Jesus, you know, reveals himself in us and shines through us. And we're able to see him everywhere in all places in all times. But when Patrick there, you know, he shows us, you know, how to become holy. Were you ever there, Ken?
No, not the Kirkpatrick. No.
We must have been so close to it when we were at Our Lady of Knock, right?
Yeah.
It's in Mayo.
Yep.
You know, and tomorrow we'll be at St. Richard's. You know, on the Feast of St. Patrick, and we'll do the novena to Our Lady of Knock. So that's odd or God, right?
Coincidence
there. But just the holiness and how saints really inspire saints and how we're inspired to be holy. We're all called not to be a St. Patrick, but to be a St. Ken, to be a St. Douglas. But we too must be like Patrick. The saints give us the example. They live that gospel, the whole gospel, and nothing but the gospel. They deny themselves, they pick up their cross, they follow Jesus. They fast, they pray, they give alms. And they embrace that cross of trials and tribulations that burns the world out of them, purifies them, and raises them up to be other Christ, you know, to be just like Jesus in all ways. Our Lord comes to show us what humanity really is, what it should be. Not what it is, but what it should be. You know, you want to know what to be human is. Look at Jesus, look at our Blessed Mother. That's to be human. Sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, Father, I'm only human, as if they have a license to sin. No, sin is to be inhuman. But to be graceful is to become holy, like Jesus is holy and perfect, like our Heavenly Father is perfect. The saints did it, and we can do it. Think of Matt Talbot, Ken. If I can do it, you can do it by the grace of God.
Amen. And it goes back to St. Patrick's breastplate. And, you know, if we live that, if we look for Christ in everybody that we meet and everybody that we encounter, even in those situations where it may be people that we don't particularly care to be around. But, you know, somewhere inside there is Jesus Christ. You know, we believe that as Catholics, that we're all created in his image and likeness. And if we truly believe that, then we need, you know, everybody that we come across day in and day out need to just try and see Christ in them. And if we're not seeing them, that to try to draw them out and help them realize that, you know, Jesus Christ really is deep down inside there somewhere.
Yeah. Think of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, too, you know, when she picked up those bodies there in Calcutta. She saw Jesus Christ suffering, and they weren't even baptized. And she saw it so clearly because she was so holy. You know, that's what holiness does. It just, you know, brings us so close to the divine presence that is so close to us. You know, we're missing it. And the reason why I think we miss him is because we're so much in pleasure-seeking, so much in worldliness, you know. Unplug the television, put down the smartphones, and sit and be still and experience this inner presence. Go into this wine cellar, this paradise within our hearts, and meet him, you know. And listen with the ear of the heart, E-A-R in the word heart. The middle letters is E-A-R, ear. Listen with the heart and see with the eye, you know. And he reveals himself, Ken. And boy, when he does, you know, all you want to do is give that revelation to everyone you meet and see and hear and taste and touch, you know. But really, the saints, they teach us so much. Where would we be without our saints?
Amen. Well, Father, that brings us just about to the top of the hour.
Okay, do I have a minute to say a prayer?
Sure.
Yeah, I have a prayer from St. Patrick. O great apostle to the nations, who gave up your birthright of freedom for the benefit of others, who went forth in faith, Christ ever above you and before you and all around to protect you, who were brought through trial to do his will in bringing God to unbelievers, you who never doubted, pray that we too shall spend ourselves for the sake of the gospel and all souls, yet to be gathered to the Lord, that indeed from east and west men shall come and sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of our God, that from the ends of the earth one people shall be drawn to him. And let us do all, without concern for persecution, with the heart of a shepherd you had. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
St. Patrick, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Amen.
Yeah, and for all of our listeners, we want to wish you a happy and holy St. Patrick's Day. You heard Father mention that he'll be offering 8:30 Mass at St. Richard's in South Philly tomorrow. He does that every Thursday. You ever want to stop down and join us for Mass, St. Richard's is usually crowded, and then now, especially during Lent, the number of daily communicants is just awesome.
Yeah, so, Our Lady of Noctambina, too, tomorrow after Mass.
Amen. So, all right, Father, thanks very much for
thank
our listeners.
Ken. Thank you, Patrick. Happy feast day tomorrow, Patrick.
Yeah, he's waving.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, for our listeners, we got another hour yet, so don't go away. We'll be back after the break.